It's a thorn in the side of corrupt institutions. A drop of chlorine dioxide starts a health revolution. How they duck and they dive, spread lies and confusion. But in truth we abide, we got the solution. It's a health.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the G2 Voice Broadcast. It's Sunday, March 25th, in the year of the Lord, 2018. My name is Mark Grennan, and I'm here with my co-host,
Joseph Grennan.
Joe, we're in a little different situation here today.
New setup.
I got a different mic. This is our 80th broadcast. We turned the studio a little bit, and we're asking people if they can hear me good.
Yeah.
If anybody's there live on the chat, I have this new mic that we bought for the seminar, and I'm going to try it out here because I don't have to have a mic right in my face. It's right next to my mouth. As long as it's clear, we'll probably keep doing this with this kind of mic. So let's, if anybody out there can help us, tell us if it's clear.
Yeah, really Jordan's on right now. He's talking to me. Let me know what's going on. He says it's just good. Coming in now.
Let me see if it needs to be a little closer. Last week was 79th. I was in a seminar in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We covered, you know, protocol 2000, 4000, the spray bottle, how important those are. And I got some more things I want to talk about this week from testimonies up there that were really cool. It was really good. This week we'll be covering basically what went on in the seminar and some testimonies we got there. How is the volume, Joe?
I just asked him if it's clear. He's letting me know.
That's the biggest thing with my voice because I'm vaccine injured, and that wasn't a brain injury. It was a throat injury. So I don't. My voice doesn't carry very far due to a paralyzed vocal cord, but if this... This is a lot more comfortable. I can see people, too, easier, or they could see me. Maybe that's not what they want to do. Maybe they like me with this right in front of my face the whole time. Huh? Something like that. We're going to try this, see if this works. Hope it does. And Joe's got a powerful voice, so he doesn't really need something like this.
Yeah, I just don't talk that much.
Right, you don't talk that much either. But the volume and the clearness is what we're concerned about. How is it?
Well, he said it shows the episode's not available yet, so it's...
Really?
Yeah, it's probably the server, so... Really? We're recording.
But he can hear us now?
No, I checked it online. It said it was going. It's been two minutes, so...
Okay.
Might just be all right. His end.
Well, just for history buffs, and, you know, we're a history buffs and based upon, you know, history, Joe. History? His story?
Yeah.
So, you know, his being God? It's really, that's why I follow the Bible so much, because it's a exact history of what went on in the world, from where the world started. You can follow it back in history, folks. I study the archaeology, the geology. You're going to end up in the Mesopotamian Valley, the what they call the Fertile Crescent, Iraq, Iran, that area with Babylon, Tigris-Euphrates rivers. That's where all history started. History started, written history, the Sumer, Tower of Babel, and all the religions, as people left, those things cropped up, but they kept the basis of this Babylonian Nimrod stuff, baby worship and mother worship. So that's real history. So this today is a very unique morning. Because in 332 A.D., Alexander the Great went into Jerusalem, you know, with the best horses, conquered the world, basically. He dies a year later, by the way, at 33, same as Jesus. But he comes in to Jerusalem, and he's there. Even Zechariah chapter 9 talks about it. first eight verses, how he would conquer the world. And it was talked about in Daniel 200 years before the guy's born, says what this guy would do. He'd take over Darius, the Persian, he'd conquer them, and the Greek would come in. And wow, it's amazing. And I've studied for 40 plus years the Bible, the transcripts, the archaeology, history, geology, different Sanskrits, and man, it's amazing how it's accurate. Archaeology was started to prove it wrong. So today, in 32, 33 AD, we have Jesus coming in. One good thing. One bad thing. About talking too fast, my throat
dried out.
Is I cough, but this mic's right there when I cough. Excuse me, folks. But that goes along with getting a vaccine when I was 19. But anyways, let me go back to where Jesus comes in as a prophesied in Zechariah 9. And there's historians are right about this. There's up to 2 million people there. They said they killed on that day. They know in history that day, that what they call the triumphant entry, but that week before the Passover, they killed 250,000 lambs. It's written down on that day in 32, 33 AD, that one. And that means that for one lamb for every 10 people for the Passover, that means there were 2 million people there from all over the world because they're getting ready for the Passover, right? Which is another historical thing that happened in Egypt. And you got the chariots there. You got all the written down in walls. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there's always a counterfeit. It's always a distraction with all these religions worshiping the creature more than the creator. But anyways, this is what's happening today. So I think it's cool. I think people should remember this and know what happened. He came in on a donkey. Said it was prophesied, what, 3, 4, Zechariah, probably about 600-700 years before this happened. He'd come in on a donkey, and not just a donkey, a baby donkey. That's even lowly, you know, not mm-hmm. like Alexander the Great. Mm-hmm. He came in exactly opposite of what the world's looking for, some big conqueror. Now, the next time, it's going to be a different story.
Yeah.
White horses coming back, Revelation 19. You say you guys are crazy. Well, I believe this. And I believe I can prove in history that all the things in the Bible happen. So you better pay attention. That's the real history. And thank God he created us and gave us a book to say, I'm going to write my history in this book so you know what really happened. There's going to be a lot of counterfeiters. There's going to be a lot of sidetracks and distractions. So pay attention where it came from, what it says. And it's never been wrong. Not one jot or tittle shall pass till all things be fulfilled. And boy, are we getting close. Anyways, thank God I was able to think about this day. And Palm Sunday, it's called. They put palms down. So he didn't even have to touch the ground. His donkey didn't even have to get its feet dirty. Huh?
Walked upon palms.
That's crazy. It's great. But they were looking for a king to set up a kingdom. And that wasn't how he came. He came like a servant. Second time, like a king. Okay, so this week we're going to get into the seminar. We had a great time. Joe, we had about, we had like 7, 8 people couldn't come because of weather and some other things, but they're signed up and half of them paid so they can come to another seminar for free, which may be in Colorado. We're looking at Colorado and maybe Toronto. We're kind of looking at two areas where people are wanting us to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had 20 new members, but we had probably 25 people that attended the seminar.
Some returning health ministers.
So, yeah, exactly. And good time. First time I did the seminar, completely different. Obviously, we covered all the main stuff, but this was the first time I covered the book. We made a syllabus basically outlining the book, and we went through that. And it was really good. I mean, we're going to tweak a few things on the presentation, make it even better, but it was good. It really was good. And at the end, everybody, I believe, came to the conclusion that toxins are what's causing the disruption in our body. Mm-hmm. And we talked about various ways where toxins are doing it. In fact, next week, I'm going to cover soaps and makeup and stuff that you put on your
skin. Daily use things that are very toxic.
I spent like $300. I went to this store. It has all natural soaps and eye makeups and stuff. I have the catalog. I'm not trying to promote any one place because it just was in Canada. But there's a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're made of. You got to look at the ingredients. And they smell. So we have them in the office over there.
They smell floral and good oils. Really nice. Yeah.
And I've been with my skin. I gave you some too. Your skin feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And
softer.
And, yeah, it helps your skin. So that will be next week. But we got into a lot of things. But I tell you what, Joe and I, before the broadcast, we had on the wall Fox Pharmacy, that's what I call it. And we're looking. I really don't pay much attention to what's written below, going across the bottom.
Scroll, yeah.
But you and I both saw it. It said this couple, the Fosters, the family, her name was Grace, his name was, I don't know, he had a kind of Bible name
Phil
too,
or something like that.
Yeah. But anyways, they were convicted back from 2016 of letting their kid die from pneumonia. And the story goes, they're part of a church that believes that pharmaceuticals and doctors are poison, and we believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going, what? And they're being convicted because, the kid got a cold, and it turned into pneumonia. And they said, we don't want to go have the kid injected with formaldehyde and these antibodies to destroy the flora in his gut, just like what we believe. And they said, watch out, folks. They're kind of setting some cases up to go against us. I don't care. I'm not going to obey that. I read a quote from Martin Luther King, not Martin Luther, the reformer back in the Middle Ages. It was, morals tells us to resist unmoral laws, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's even the Constitution, it's called, what do they call it one? Disobedience, civil disobedience. When you can disobey a law that's set up, a civil law, because it's immoral.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up for that.
You have the civil right to do it.
Right. It's written in the Constitution. So I'm just going to go with the fact that you're not injecting poisons in me or my family or anybody in the church without us crying out. We're not going to let you do it. I mean, that's creating bodily harm. Stand down.
It's attempted
murder.
Because
I have to defend myself against something, a poison that's being injected. If I had battery acid and threw it in your face, would you have the ability, the right to back away and try to block that? And, right?
And putting that many toxins into a baby, that's attempted murder.
Oh, I believe it's crimes against humanity. We are contacting already the International Common Law Court of Justice in Belgium, a guy named Arnett. What's his first name? Kevin.
He
was even nominated for Nobel Peace Prize, but they took churches to court against human rights abuses, and to where the point the Pope resigned and the Queen resigned. So I want them to expose what the Red Cross did. We have a cure for the number one killer in the history of mankind, malaria. Over 1.5 billion people have died in the history of the world, more than any other disease, and we cure it 100% of the time, and they say we don't. And they squelch it, says it's a scam. And up to a half a billion people worldwide, Joe, suffer from malaria every year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a crime against humanity. We're going to stand up. I'd like to contact that church. Maybe have the pastor on. You know those people? This is wrong. We need to have those people on and expose how they're being and get rid of these crazy courts. The Ninth Court of Appeal. I mean, Ninth Circuit Court is that's the ones that put Daniel in jail for having MMS available in a different name, but available. So it was a good seminar, Joe. We really, Julie, we're going to do another one. Probably another 5 or 6 months. We're trying to develop some more things. All the G2 voices now every week are being put in Spanish, and very soon every week in Portuguese, and then we're working back. I think like 76, 77, 78, 79, and 65 and 66 are in Spanish subtitles, plus 1 through 5. But every week, and then he's just going to keep back up until we get them all in there. That'll be Spanish, Portuguese, and also for people that are deaf, if you know any people that are deaf, they can read. It's subtitled in English, transcribed in English.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to focus getting the book now done in Spanish. We're developing a Portuguese site for Brazil. We're developing a Spanish site. Well, it's already up. Joe has for Latin America, and you're putting more things up there,
yeah,
right? All the time. So we're trying to focus on that stuff, and we'll be doing some seminars, getting the seminar fine-tuned, even the new one. So we're looking forward to it. We covered things, you know. Remember that we saw in Fox? It says they're telling the people not to listen to doctors or take pharmaceutical drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a good church. I think it was called Faith Tabernacle, the Foster family. Check it out. Call them up, support them, and say, we're with you. We're the Genesis 2 Church. We believe that. And we even have testimonies. We have the facts about what's in the vaccines and what's happening around the world. You know, real science, folks, we've been involved in one of the most comprehensive, worldwide, cross-cultural, broad-spectrum, voluntary human health studies of this world for the past 7 years, the Genesis 2 Church. And that's what the G2 Voice is. For those that did new to a broadcast, we developed this voice because BBC, CBC, NBC, ABC, Sky News, all of them have interviewed us, and they never reported what we said, and they make it just look like a lie, like a scam. So we're doing studies all over the world. If you count what Jim started in Africa and in Guyana and South America, about 20 years. We've been involved about 10, 11 now. And 95% of the world's diseases, we have testimonies of restored health. The body was diseased, and they had one of these diseases. They call malaria or cancer or Lyme disease, and we've cured them. We've had testimonies, and we're putting them up. I have many on the broadcast, and we cover different diseases. We have it in the book. We have it on our websites, YouTube. And, you know, we're upsetting these people. The pharmaceuticals. You know, Fox News will be really honest, really, when they start showing what's going on in the medical pharmaceutical industries. And the Fed, Federal Reserve, what that really is. If you see them really exposing the pharmaceutical, medical, and what they were doing, poisoning kids, covering people getting damaged, I mean, really covering it, because it's horrible.
They don't even look into it at all.
No. Well, they're Rupert Murdoch, the owner.
They're sponsored.
Yeah, they're heavily invested in pharmaceuticals, in Wall Street, in the Fed. So, yeah, they're not going to cover that stuff, which is one of the major problems on Earth. And this is what needs to be changed. This is my problem with Trump. Man, I am with him on abortion and all this other stuff, against abortion. But he's got these bankers and these oil guys, and he's got these pharmaceutical guys, ex-Merck people, or pharmaceutical heads heading up health. You know, this is crazy. This is insanity. This is probably why they're going after churches, saying stay away from the pharmaceuticals. So I'm for truth. I don't care who says it. And we're going to stand for it. So, you know, no monies were received from any pharmaceutical medical companies wanting a certain results. We don't receive any money from any of those guys. In fact, we would never. Even if they said, please, here's $1 billion to go cure people with malaria. I don't think I'd take it, Joe.
No.
Because, wait a minute, you Merck, why would you want us to cure malaria? If they said to cure it, we put it on TV, we're publishing it, we're going to do it, I probably would, a live broadcast. We're going to go. They have Mark sponsoring us.
Yeah, if they're not going to edit it and make it look like
a scam. You know, you make statements, but I would do it. But I don't ever see them doing that because they could lose a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So the people of this world that have followed the G2C, G2 Church protocols and not been paid in any way, but they have self-dosed themselves voluntarily. Self-care is what's being taught and encouraged by the Genesis 2 Church worldwide, and it's working incredibly. Every person on this earth has the God-given right to control their own health and not rely on pharmaceutical medical industry. And we don't. And that's scientific. Observation and repeatability. We have standard protocols that we call sacraments to cleanse our temple, to keep toxins out, to build up the body, our temple, the way it's made and designed with real foods. And, you know, these toxic relationships, get rid of them, the stress. Those are the four things we're doing. And these clinical studies from the world with humans, we're seeing consistent results. So that's science. Now, you'd be like, I want more facts. Well, you're not listening. It's almost like you want to slap them upside the head. They're not listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not listening. I'm talking to you, Joe. They're not listening. It's like, listen. We've got these facts, very scientific facts. Listen, read. We're going to put up three or four more today.
More testimonies.
Yeah, testimonies that came in. Well, I recorded. One, the guy didn't want to be recorded, but I'm going to read it to you. It's amazing. Four-month-old baby with a liver cancer.
Fourth-stage liver cancer?
Well, its liver is three times the size. 4 months old. They had to get to the embryo. They had to infect the embryo with toxins to cause that liver, that baby, to come out and have this advanced liver cancer within 4 months. Wow. But it's cool. The end result's really cool. But this is, folks, this is all about self-care, okay? And so we're a church teaching you what's in the vaccines, what's in the medicines. In the book I wrote, I'm telling you a timeline for 200-something years to show you why we're in this situation we're in. The government's corrupt, folks, when it comes to the medical industry. They let them do whatever they want. The FDA's corrupt. The CDC's corrupt. The EPA, the Department of Justice, is corrupt. The Supreme Court is corrupt when it comes to letting this stuff go on. Okay? And it's God we trust, not government. Hey, it's civil disobedience. We have the right, and we have the moral obligation as a church to be the voice or the conscience of the government, not the other way around. It's never this separation of church and state was not government, stay out of the church. No, it was the church was in the government's face because the church is the people. You can tell the government all the time what to do. Because we're supposed to be based on morals. And those things, you don't need a law. It's kind of like this. Natural law, common law. Do you need a law to say murder's not bad?
No. You just know.
You know. Because why? The Bible says it's written inside you in Romans chapter 2. Written inside of you. So they know to accuse or excuse you. It's inside. Some people call it conscience. Some people call it the Spirit of God. But the, inside you, you know you're not supposed to take a life. So you don't need the law. It's a common law. It's a natural law. Lying. Stealing.
Mm-hmm.
These are things you know it's wrong. That's yours.
Cheating.
You know. I can't. That's not mine. I'm going to steal it. Oh, there's money over here I can grab. It's not mine. You know. And these things are moral things. These things are natural law. The church is supposed to be based like the Ten Commandments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, John, Joe, we are just with John for 10 days. I'm calling you John now. We know these things are wrong. To inject, to pierce the skin, to put in the mouth a poison that's going to disrupt the way this body acts, runs, designed to, it's wrong. We got to warn the people, like the bridges out, folks. We're going to warn you every week. And we're going to show you how to get the accumulated toxins out with these protocols, our sacraments, okay? It's all going to be about do it yourself, folks. Do it yourself. So here, this is, let me get into the first testimony. This is in our newsletters, folks. It's on the
newsletters in the description, yes.
Every week. You can go to all our past broadcasts, and there's a newsletter with more research. In fact, one of these guys in the testimony, he takes our newsletters, Joe, and he teaches them in Amsterdam, in Ghana.
That's
he
good.
Says, I got all kinds of research there. I can prove it. So we're arming you with bullets, that you could stand before anybody, smile, and with the research from clinical studies, from Harvard Medical School, from JAMA, the Journal of Medicine, from Lancet, from all these different things, where they're saying, look at what we're doing, look at what this says. Folks, we're giving you the I told the people at the seminar, I wrote this book like an indictment against the medical system of the world and how to take control of your health and what to do with testimonies and everything. So I told the seminar, you're going to be like a jury. Your job is just to listen this week to the evidence. Both sides. I showed in the back the ending what ABC says about us, CBC. By the way, reporter showed up. CBC is like ABC of Canada.
Yeah.
Or BBC of England.
So it's one of their broadcasting
companies. We'll tell
you
a little bit in a minute what happened there, because Jonathan was talking to him, and he tried to disrupt our service and pushed him outside. And he tried to, well, let me get into that when I talk about it. First testimony, okay? The father of a five-year-old girl, daughter, she's five now, told me the following story that happened to her when she was 4 months old. The daughter was diagnosed with fourth stage liver cancer, and her liver was three times the size. The oncologist wanted to immediately start chemo and radiation on this four-month-old. Immediately. I mean, a little kid, four-month-old. We got to do chemo and radiation right away. The father and mother asked, isn't that a little harsh for a baby so young? Doc said, no, you have to do it. I mean, Canada's like Nazis, man. They're Health Canada. You know, it's all free, so do it right now. And they'll report you and all this other stuff. The doctor said, no, you have to do it. The health professionals really pressured the family and tried to force the parents to force the treatments. Parents took the child out of the country to save her life from this horrible toxic treatment. The guy knew about MMS, so he takes the kid out of the country. I wrote this down, but I know the story better because he told me for about an hour we were talking. Takes him out of the country. They even tracked the kid down. They knew what country he was in. So we know what state, where it's at, because they were tracking the mother's credit card, where she was, visiting families, right?
It's crazy.
So he started, and I told him I wouldn't do it this way, folks. But he did it, and it worked. He started the baby in baths, MMS baths, 100 drops, Joe. 100 drops. For a four-month-old. But remember, it's a four-month-old with clean lungs, right? New lungs. So it's not going to be as harsh on new lungs, because but it's still, it's a lot. I said, why don't you start at 25? He goes, I was scared, man. I just wanted to saturate her skin. She was breathing. I said, is it yellow? He says, the water was yellowish, and you could smell it. I'm like, wow. Didn't cough? No, didn't cough one bit. And I'm like, wow. Probably because it's young and clean.
Yeah, it wasn't gassing out at all either.
Well, he said you could smell it. He said you could smell it. So I said, well, I'm going to recommend more people to do that, but not start as high as him.
Yeah.
But he's got his other two kids that, listen to this, this is crazy. He got his other two kids doing this every day in life. Since they cured this kid at 4 months, the kid's almost six. He's got two older brothers and siblings, I think like 8 and 10, something like that. And they're like a head taller, all three of them, than anyone else in their grade. I'm like,
They're developing right.
They're giants.
Yeah, there's no toxins.
Joe, they're creating giants. We're going to have a giant protocol. Basketball protocol, okay? Isn't that crazy? I don't know if it's just, and he's a short guy. He's like my size. I'm 5'8". In fact, he might even be a little shorter. And I'm like, wow. So, folks, I'm not telling you you're going to grow if you do this, but isn't that crazy? We're starting to hear, because we're getting longer term. More people experiment with different things. So he does that. The baby is free. They come back, and they're still harassing the guy, saying, yes, okay, you say she's clean. In fact, they tested her. They did bring her. She's clean. They still want to do chemo. Well, let us do chemo, make sure it never comes back. Why would you torture a person like that? Chemo's horrible. It's harsh. You make it in a hazmat suit, folks. In the laboratory, they're all like a hazmat, carrying something that's radiated. They carry it to the hospital, and they bring it in, make sure you don't touch it. Then they inject it in your veins, and your hair falls out, immune system screwed. It says that. If you're, it kills your fertility, makes you sterile. A lot of things happen to you. And it makes cancer grow. So does the morphine, so does the radiation. Proven it makes the cancer grow. And they're trying to push this on a five-year-old kid. I mean, he had to go to common law. They come to his gate with a notification that he doesn't, no trespassing today. They have to call the gate. No trespassing in my property. It's my private property. And you know what? This is your private property, too. Mm-hmm. No trespassing. Mm-hmm. No trespassing with a needle, with a toxin through the mouth. Bro. People, you have to believe this, and you have to tell them no. This is insanity to try to do this to a kid, especially when chemo's so unscientific and allopathic, harsh method that kills your immune system. We have a very unscientific, corrupt, and evil health systems in this world that have no regard for health at all and are allowed to exist. This has to be stopped. We're in a health revolution against this. Look at one doctor said, we have a multi-billion dollar, I'd say trillion, industry that is killing people right and left just for financial gain. That's why they're pushing that chemo on that kid. They get a kickback.
Of course.
The idea of research is to see whether two doses of this poison is better than three doses of that poison. I'm not letting it in this temple. From Glenn Warner, MD. Another guy here. Joe, we got to redo our thing here. This guy, I like this guy, Mendelsohn. Medicine today is not a science. Almost nothing in medicine has been scientifically proven. Instead, medicine today has become a religion, a belief system. I talk about the Bible. I got historical scientific facts. People are like, oh, the Bible. You talk about medical industry, doctors, and they're like revered, Joe. And they're smart people, but very badly trained, and that there's drug pushers of poisons.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a doctor is. How can you say that? They're so respected in society. Who cares if they're respected? Our society respects the evil and disrespects the moral. So what do I care what society and Fox News says about doctors? The truth. Time is a friend of truth. And guess what? People are waking up, folks. They're waking up. They're sick of it. Here's our second testimony from our 58th G2 seminar. But our first with the new curriculum, the new message, the new syllabus that's covering the book that I wrote. And it covers one whole morning. We covered 3 hours on all the basic thing, how to make it to how to take it. Okay? And then we give them 50 videos to go home with. And if they're self-motivated, they become a member of the seminar for a year. If they're self-motivated, they'll become a health minister. They'll open a church chapter. Yeah. And we're going to talk about how to do that today. Because I figured this is kind of like the end of the book of what we're covering. We went through different chapters for the last 10 weeks and in more detail than the seminar even. And we're seeing more testimonies coming in, more people following what we're telling them, and more people stopping the toxins coming out, Joe, coming into the body and getting them out. So we had a new bishop up there, Pedro. He'd been dealing with chronic psoriasis throughout his body for many years. It was getting worse and worse, and the drugs and creams were not working, even making it worse each time. He was on another treatment, he said. After just a few months, he was completely cured and never came back. This cure motivated him to help others, to which he does each day. So, Joe, if you want, we could click on his testimony. And then when we're done, I'll tell a look about the other girl.
Yeah.
His wife.
I got it right here.
Yeah. Click on that. How long is that one?
It's 9 minutes.
Yeah. Listen to Pedro. Good guy. Listen well. I'm here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, right?
Yes.
With Pedro. Why don't you introduce yourself, your own name?
Okay, Pedro Acuna. I'm Pedro Acuna. I'm a new bishop for the Genesis 2 Church.
Yeah, he's made a bishop yesterday with another man from Ghana. And so he wants to share what happened to him, how he found MMS, how it helped him personally, and what his goals are. So why don't you just go for it?
Okay. So I was 35 year old when I got the flu vaccine, and I was also traveling. So I got the required vaccination when you travel to another country. I think like hepatitis C,
yellow fever,
something like that. I remember with three.
Tetanus.
Three different vaccinations. Until then, I will say that I have pretty good health. Sometimes I get a cold, but nothing that really make me feel sick. Probably between 6 months later, I started developing the first symptom of psoriasis. My arm, my shoulder, my hip, and
at the same side?
Yeah, actually was the right size. But every time it started getting worse and worse. I didn't know what it was. So I went to the doctor. So after 2 or 3 months, I was diagnosed with psoriasis and I started giving all kind of cream and
cortisone.
Nothing helped me, but the psoriasis keep coming back continually. So I was 1 week fine, another week's really bad, but every time I started getting worse. Then, let's say, first of all, the psoriasis, but then I started developing a sinus infection.
Okay.
Again, for a time, really slow, 2-3 days, then was a week, and then there was a moment where I was really sick. I couldn't work anymore. I remember how being in my house for a week in bed with a lot of pain. Every time I cough, I remember with my arm, I feel like my eyes are going to explode with it every time I cough. So the infection was really, really bad. Again, so that was that moment I started taking also some pharmaceutical drugs to deal with the sinus infection. It helped me for 1 month, but then come back. And every time it came back stronger. So I needed more antibiotics. And that I was dealing with, I was in that situation probably 2-3 years. My psoriasis with different drugs, the sinusitis. And then I remember I moved to Canada because I went to the doctor because probably Canada is more advanced in terms of healthcare. Mm-hmm. And it was the same solution, more drugs, just dealing with the symptom, but the psoriasis and the sinusitis was every time worse and worse. Oh. Until one day I remember I needed to replace my prescription, so I went to the doctor. And that day, I remember the doctor treated me really bad. Like, absolutely, the treatment that they gave me was, I was like, they humiliated me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, humiliate you.
Exactly, yes. And I say, this is enough. Like, I've been in this pain all this year.
Getting worse and worse.
Worse and worse, no solution. And that day I left the clinic, I say, I will find a solution by myself.
For you.
And, you know, at that moment I was working in a research department in an IT company, so that gave me the time to actually do research. And I started doing research on many different solutions. And one of them was I found Jim Humble, and he was talking about MMS. And I probably for a year, I read everything that was on the internet about MS for a year.
Wow.
I read so much that I knew every single article probably was on the internet at that moment. And then I took the decision to contact Jim Humble and say, and try to verify that it was for true, there was a real person behind.
Yeah.
And actually he answered my email. And then I made arrangements to meet him in Mexico, Puerto Vallarta. I traveled there. I learned about MMS, and I started doing at that moment my own protocol. We didn't have the protocol that today
right.
We have.
Right.
So I do my own protocol. Of course, I have like a strong Alzheimer reaction, but after every Alzheimer reaction, I actually start feeling stronger, feeling better, and the symptoms started disappearing. At the same time, I was also doing research about diet, so I completely changed my diet, and in a period between 6 to 8 months, I completely cleaned my body.
Sinuses
was gone, psoriasis was gone, and they never came back again. And today, my skin is completely clean, no issue on my sinuses.
You probably had other things happen to you too, right, that you noticed?
I would say
sleeping better. We had two snoring testimonies yesterday. Two people stopped snoring, things like that. Sleeping better, more energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say more energy immediately. I am a person that wake up early in the morning, like at 5 a.m. I wake up every morning at 5 a.m. with a lot of energy. Like I feel like I've been probably sleeping to 10 a.m. because the amount of energy that I have. And I know this is because I continuously use MMS to maintain my health. Mm. And that absolutely boosts your energy.
That's fantastic. Yeah. This psoriasis, sinusitis, and just overall energy. Now he's a bishop, and we're in Canada. And so Health Canada, just like the FDA, doesn't like what we're doing. So he's setting up the church here and helping a lot of people. And you're getting a lot of people coming to you, right?
Yeah, I was absolutely like every day being contacted with a person. I like to work, however, with person that take personal responsibility of the health. I would say I know the father or anybody. I'm just an instructor. I'm not a healer.
Guidance, yeah.
Exactly. I just provide information, and everybody take the decision on their own, and they do their own
due diligence.
Exactly, right? Yes.
Self-motivated people will take care of it.
That's right.
This is the problem with the medical system, lets the people just rely on it, and it's kind of a cop-out, you know? The doctor just told me what to do.
Exactly.
This is my body. I don't want that to happen to me. Yeah. So we have plans to keep helping, and we just did one seminar yesterday. Maybe we'll do another one in another part of Canada. And eventually this guy is going to be doing seminars himself. Very capable. Him and his, I'll tell you in a minute another story, but I really appreciate it. We couldn't have done it without him and his wife helping us, because him and Aaron set it up. We could just walk in basically and go for it. And even some of your family, her family helped out too, her mother and aunt.
And yes, I would say also everybody right now in my family there, we all know very well how to use MMS. Basically, we have been out of the healthcare system for years. So, at least we have an accident. That's probably the only reason why we go to a hospital. Sure. But otherwise, any kind of condition, I always like to say now, where we come from, nobody died from cancer. Cancer for us is not a death sentence anymore.
Right.
Just as typical as a cold, a flu, we just follow the protocols, and that's it. There are no more fear.
Yeah, and we'll have his wife come up now and tell you what she dealt with.
Okay.
God bless you, buddy. You're gonna do great things in Canada. So if you're watching this testimony, pray for this guy, okay? All of us, but pray for him, protection, and they don't stop him from helping people. Okay, that was Pedro. And the one we're gonna talk about right now, we're having a little electrical problems here, so I don't know what's going on with the electricity. But this third testimony, I'm calling it the MMS love story, because Pedro ended up finding Erin when Erin had a very aggressive breast cancer, and she worked in the healthcare system like, IT. So she had all these best and newest contacts, knew all the surgeons, and so you think, oh, man, what a great place to be when you find out you had cancer, you know? To be around the most up-to-date. Well, if you listen to her story, it's amazing what they wanted to do to her. And the good thing is, 2.5 years later, she's fell in love with Pedro and married and has no sign of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you click that one on, Joe, and let them listen to that. How long is that one?
That one is 13 minutes.
Okay, well, it's a good story. She uses a lot of technical words because she's in that system, and she wants to help other women.
She explains it well.
With breast cancer, yeah. So listen up, folks. Okay, this is a cool story. It's kind of a MMS love story. Pedro, that was just being interviewed, met this woman. I'll just let her, Aaron, tell you what happened to her. It's a great story. Why don't you just go for it?
Sure.
Well, tell your name first.
Yes, my name is Aaron. Do you need last name too?
No.
Okay, my name's Aaron. I was diagnosed with an aggressive breast cancer about 2.5 years ago. And it was stage 1, so caught early. But given in Canada, we assign it a grade, and it was a grade 3, which is an invasive tumor that has started to invade surrounding
aggressive
tissue and blood,
right?
Vessels. Yes. And so I was 35 at the time of my diagnosis, which actually proved to be a bit of a problem here in Canada, because a lot of the breast cancer guy, oh, it was a breast cancer. The breast cancer guidelines, sort of the cutoff for any sort of definitive chemotherapy protocol or anything, or survival, mortality rates, is based on, like, the cutoff is 35 years old. And so it,
so after that, you can't be helped? Is that what they're saying?
No, it was just it was kind of a gray area, because all of the protocols that the oncology team used to, that they would normally use to sort of prescribe my chemotherapy or my treatment regimen, was based on up to 35 and then after 35. But I was right on the 35-year-old. Exactly. And so at the time, this, of course, I didn't know about MMS at the time. I didn't know anything that I know now. So at the time, that really muddied the waters for me. Because, of course, as you know, they recommended surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and 10 years of hormone therapy. Ooh. And I, along with the hormone therapy and the chemotherapy, comes a complete destruction of your fertility.
Wow.
And so then at 35 years old, I was thinking about fertility treatments, but those aren't covered here in Alberta, at least. And so having to think about, well, do I remortgage my house to pay for fertility treatments?
Wow.
So it was a really, really crazy time.
You said you had a biopsy?
I did.
Okay.
Now, in retrospect, of course, I know better. It's almost embarrassing to tell the story now, because knowing what I know now. But I did. I actually had it biopsied twice. So what happened was I discovered the lump and went to my family doctor, and he prescribed or ordered a fine needle aspiration. I went next door to the doctor's office next door, and they stuck a fine, super fine needle in it. Yeah. Just with some local anesthetic, little needle, and sent that off for tests. And then when it came back, the tests came back inconclusive. And so that's when they sent me for a core biopsy, which is a much bigger needle. And I think they poked me about 5 times. And I have pictures of my breast after that. It was blue.
Wow.
My breast was blue, and bandaged up. And yeah, now I know in many things in retrospect.
That makes you think, maybe that affected the tumor and made it spread, and, you know.
Yeah. To me, now it's just common sense.
Right.
That's totally unnecessary.
It's encapsulated to protect it from spreading around.
Mm-hmm.
So by busting it open, they do the same thing with all the biopsies, but prostate is horrible. It's like 24 needles busted.
Oh,
up.
Yeah.
It starts leaking and swelling. So... let's get to the good part.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Sure. So I should mention that at the time I also worked in healthcare. I'm not a clinician. I was more on the IT side of things, but I worked with a lot of clinicians. And so being in that environment, things change when you're sort of on the receiving end as a patient, and you're getting, at the time, was a horribly scary diagnosis for me. Scary for my whole family, and, you know, while I was not at any risk of dying, you still come face to face with your own mortality,
mm-hmm.
having to think about, okay, well, if I don't choose the right course of treatment, I could die.
Sure.
And so, of course, this was how I was thinking back then. Mm-hmm. Now I have a completely different perspective on cancer and all disease. But in any event, at the time, was so scared.
Stressed out.
Oh, my gosh. Sleepless. Absolutely stressed to the max.
Yeah.
I went on medical leave. From my, and bless my employer for having those benefits that
sure.
I could, then focus full time on on treatment. So I started looking into natural alternatives to allopathic cancer treatment. And in that process of looking for natural cancer treatment, I found Pedro. It was actually kind of a funny story. My dad actually found Pedro. And my dad went and interviewed him first because my dad didn't want me introducing me to him, his little girl, right? So he didn't want me, he wanted to make sure Pedro was the real deal. So he went and quote unquote interviewed Pedro first.
Excuse me.
Yeah, no problem.
Really? He, so he kind of screened you.
Yes, exactly. Screened Pedro first.
Don't pause it for a second. I get a, get a drink.
That can't be edited.
Perfect. Did you get more of those kombuchas too, or are those the ones
no,
that
these
we
are
the
ones.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I just tickled my throat.
It's so dry here too. It happens to me since yesterday actually. I've had a cough.
Okay, that's good. Where were we? Your dad.
Not my dad yet.
Okay, keep going. So your dad checked out Bishop Pedro to see, made sure he was real.
Yeah, made sure he was the real deal, and was immediately inspired by what Pedro had to share with him. And so for Christmas that year, I got in an envelope was Pedro's business card. And so I reached out to Pedro, and the first day I met him, I felt... It like as I mentioned before, I was so stressed, and I just was looking for someone to offer me some clarity. Mm-hmm. You know, I was seeing a naturopathic oncologist here, who was excellent. A whole team of specialists at the cancer center here. So I had probably 6 or 7 professionals offering me opinions on treatment: plastic surgeon, medical oncologist, radiation oncologist, naturopathic oncologist, plus a bunch of other people that I sought out. And so when I met Pedro, it was the first time I actually felt at peace and calm about the alternatives. Like, you know, learning about chemotherapy and radiation scared the crap out of me. And it didn't feel right. And so then when I met Pedro and I learned about MMS and other superfoods that could help...
build your immune system, build your body back up.
Exactly. You know, contribute to the cancer cells committing cell death or apoptosis. Sure. Learned about all of these things, and so for the first time felt like I could actually take a deep breath. Mm. And in retrospect, I now know that was love at first sight.
Yeah. MMS love story.
Yes.
So now, where you're at, how long has it been?
2.5 years.
Okay, how long did it take before you felt it working on you?
Oh, it was immediate.
Yeah.
Oh, it was within days. Mm-hmm. I should also mention that, so out of the course of treatment that my cancer team wanted me to do, I did have surgery. So I did have a, what's it called? They removed the tumor.
Right.
They actually wanted me to remove both breasts. And that, to me, just sounded a bit extreme. So I said, well, let's hold off on that for now. Let's just start with the tumor and see how... we don't know really what it's...
Let me just interject this, because this happened today. We're eating lunch, and this woman, she had a lump. She's telling me they're friend of the family. And they took off both breasts just for a little lump. And the daughter, it was a mother or sister, she opted to have her breast taken off without... No lumps or anything, just because probably one day the daughter you'll have cancer too, so you might as well opt to take them off now.
That's tragic.
Oh.
That's tragic.
So you didn't do that?
No, I didn't. So I'm thankful now. At the time, of course, when I made the decision to have the surgery, I did not know about MMS. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't know what I know now. But in retrospect, I would never have bothered with surgery. There's no way.
Right.
I wouldn't have bothered. But I don't mind it because now it gives me a bit of street cred, you know, with women in the same boat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now you're completely clear.
Yes.
Nothing else growing, nothing.
No.
And you're consistently doing maintenance doses and...
You know what? MMS is now part of my daily life. Mm-hmm. I use it every day. It's it's not only do I drink it, but I also I use it to brush my teeth. I use it on my underarms. I use it to clean vegetables. Sure. Yeah, it's just
part of my spray bottle with you everywhere.
All the time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So now these people are in love, and they're working together, and we just working together to bring us here. And so we're really excited about meeting this couple, and hopefully we'll see them down in Columbia sometime for a visit. But again, anybody watching this testimony, pray for these people up here. In every country we have people, because when you start curing things, boy, I tell you, we had a reporter come by Saturday, right, John? And try to come in and question us, and John's like, hey, we're in the middle of a church seminar, and, you know, we really don't want to talk to fake news, so we're busy trying to cure people. John did a good job with that, too, and we recorded it. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Me too.
May you help a lot of women.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing, me telling a woman how to, mm-hmm. even showing testimonies, but it's one that had it, went through it, yeah. and now she's clear.
Yeah.
So it's a reality, folks.
Yeah.
We're not making this up, and I hope everybody will heed anyone, a lot of breast cancer out there.
Yeah.
To this testimony, because we have many others, but it's great to have another one.
You know what? Sorry, Boots, I just don't mean to cut you off.
No.
I think if there's one thing that, if there's any woman watching this, or any man who's watching this, who has a woman in their life with any breast cancer diagnosis, the stage is unimportant. If there's anything I could share with them, is that you have options. Don't let any doctor intimidate you into thinking that you need surgery in 2 weeks' time,
right.
or that you need chemotherapy right away. That's baloney.
Right.
And I just want any woman who's watching to know that you do have time and you do have options.
Right.
And you, if you're watching this, you're in the right place.
Well, in the United States, to pressure people even more, now they have a stage 5.
Oh,
you're stage 5. Tomorrow,
yes.
let's do a biopsy. Tomorrow, let's do the radiation, you know. So it's a lot of pressure on the people, and you're like, okay, you know, wow.
Exactly.
I couldn't imagine. I haven't gone through it, but I've talked to so many people that have.
Yes.
So may God bless you.
Thank you. You as well.
And we'll see you again, I know, sure.
I look forward to
help a lot of people.
Thank you.
Go forth and heal.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that was Erin. That's that love story. She's doing great, and be a good encouragement for other ladies to follow her advice, and don't get a biopsy and don't get surgery. But they wanted to take off both breasts, Joe, for a lump. We've seen these lumps. So, okay, well, go in and cut it out. It will dissolve. Instead of trying to dissolve it slowly over the next 6 to 9 months, they go in and take it out. I can understand that. But you shouldn't even get that far, right?
Mm-hmm,
if
mm-hmm.
you know what we're doing, you won't ever have that lump. But okay, I see that. And then she said because of cutting it, and we know this, it was going to spread everywhere and breaking it open and biopsies. So once she met Pedro, she went immediately on MMS. 2.5 years, nothing's grown. Nothing. You got a little scar tissue, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And no more cancer anywhere. She's doing great. Sweet lady. So, yeah, I really think we should pray for those people up in Canada, because Health Canada is evil, folks. If you're listening from Canada, you know, because it's free, everybody's like, whoa, it's free. Well, so what? It's free what? Free toxic waste? Bad advice?
Free chemicals.
Free way to kill yourself? Assisted suicide slowly by doctors? They even have a word for it. Iatrogenics. Death by doctor. And I think it's number one in America. It's probably because of their advice gets you to die from the chemo and the other things. But they're saying it's number three. But folks, wake up. This is why we're kind of just yelling at people on the side of the road. The bridge is out, folks. Don't go any further. Take care of your own health. And we're giving you the ability to do it, showing you how to do it very simply. So we have another guy that was there. We made him a bishop because he's done a lot of stuff. He's got 4 different locations in Ghana now, Joe. Plus he's working up in Amsterdam. He was trained by a bishop from Cameroon, lady that came to our seminar in
In Weert.
Weert, not yes. Wert. Weert. South of Amsterdam in Holland. What was that, 3 or 4 years ago, right? 3 or 4 years ago. Christmas time.
3 years ago.
Three. Anyways.
2.5 years, yeah.
We trained her up. She met him and trained him up. And he went down to Ghana, set up places. And he's just kind of a really nice guy. And he's the guy who was training people off the newsletters. Barima.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Nana.
Huh?
Nana.
Yeah. Nana means chief. Now he's a chief. We're talking about some. He has 3,000 acres of land. We're thinking, what could you do? What could you do? We're like, man, grow hemp. Start introducing in Africa hemp plastics. Get rid of the plastics off this earth, made by petroleum based. Hemp is biodegradable. You can grow it. You don't have to take down trees. I mean, I'm really wanting to push that free energy. Not only self-care, but free, completely free. One of the tenets is freedom for all mankind. Not just health-wise. We want you to be free energy-wise. We want you to be free food-wise. We want you to be free all the different ways. Pollution-wise. In the sky. Stop these chemtrails.
Toxically free.
Yeah. All these toxins and clean up our planet. I'm for that. Man, this is our temple we live in physically, but the earth is our temple that we live in, all of us live in, right? That's why we're in a unique church, folks, because we welcome anyone. Anyone. No matter what I believe personally, spiritually, has no effect on you being a member or us helping you ever. And we want the whole world to link together and do these sacraments for their own health and taking control of it. And that will get rid of the pharmaceutical and medical industry.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be emergencies where you need to go. For emergency, go to a hospital. They're excellent mechanics. But don't stick around and take their drugs too long. I broke my leg. Hey, I wanted that opium-based morphine injected in my veins, and they could drill through my leg, put a pin in it. And, you know, hey, I'm not talking about emergencies. I worked in surgery for 20 years with surgeons. I assisted. I even cut, prepared, pulled teeth, stitched. I learned it all. And I wasn't even ever trained in a medical university like those guys were. And it's mechanics, okay? Don't ask me to operate on anybody because I'll kill you. Mm. I'll probably kill you, bleed to death or something. But with those guys there observing, hey, it's not a mystery as much as people think it is. So, yes, go to we never tell people not to go to a hospital in emergency situation. We stay away from the pharmaceuticals unless it's emergency. And don't listen to the doctors about health or nutrition because they know nothing about it. But this guy, Barima, he came along and he's got an interesting story. Just listen, he's got the Mexican, you know, I be around the peoples, and I do go camo. So you got to listen to his English. It's African Ghana English, plus he lives in Amsterdam. He speaks like 5-6 languages. But listen good. He's a really great guy. He's going to do some great things in Ghana. In fact, we linked him up with a couple other people now. And Ghana's one of the countries in Africa. A lot is going on with our sacraments. So listen up to Bishop Barima. Okay, here I am with, 58th Seminar. We are in Canada. I'm here with who?
Barima Asamoah Kofi IV.
Try to say that 5 times fast. Yeah, we're here. He came all the way from Amsterdam, and he's originally from Ghana, so he's working in both areas.
Yeah.
And what we do in our little testimonies, we made him a bishop because he's done a lot of stuff in Ghana, doing some stuff in Amsterdam. He came to learn more, and we're going to be doing even more with him. So I just want to sit here a few minutes with him and discuss what he's been doing and just a few minutes, kind of tell people of the world what you've been doing in Ghana.
Thank you very much. All right. As I said, my name is Berima Asamoah Kofi IV. I became a chief in Ghana in 2002, hence getting the name Berima Asamoah Kofi IV. But before that, my name, I have two names, that is Stephen Kwasi Odro. That is Kwasi being a Sunday born. Odro is my family name. And Stephen is the given him a Christian name that my father gave me.
When's the first time? How'd you hear about MMS?
I got it through Bishop Esther in Rotterdam. It's somebody that I've been consulting with for some time, because anytime she needs help, then she calls on me to assist her in her trainings and also sometimes how to get to the Ghanaian community, because she's from Cameroon. So we were doing a lot of stuff together. And I was in Ghana on a program for the IOM, International Organization for Migration. I was away for about 6 months. And I came back over the Netherlands, I called her, and she just called me. Nana, where have you been? I said, I'm around. She said, come over here. So I had to travel from Amsterdam to Rotterdam to her. And she said, she started giving me some stuff from UK and so forth. And before that, I saw Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing manual on her desk. I said, hey, Esther, is it because of this that you called me or what? So please, give it to me. I'm not here for that stuff. Give it to me. And she just said, okay, boy, you know what? This is it. Would you like to be part of it? I don't want you to do anything. Just go home. Go through this program. Go and study. Give me a call. And if you are interested, we sign you on. I said, okay, now, this sounds interesting. So she gave me a site. I've forgotten that. And I went through the program, and that was a Friday. I called her Sunday morning and said, Esther, I'm not going to church. I'm ready. I said, okay, come over again on Monday. I went back, and she just wrote the whole thing out to me. Okay, I got my bad blow. Said, come on, let's do it. Then she gave me how do I register? Said, it cost me that to do the online thing. And I registered. I did, before the Friday, I had done. And I went back to her and she said, hey, this guy is crazy. I thought he was joking, but no. I said, yeah.
He's serious.
He's serious. And then the following week I went back, because I got my certificates and all the things posted to me. And I went with my car, and I had the certificates up, particularly the logo and then the creeds.
And I
made it bigger, and then I just placed it in my car, and I drove to her, and I just called her to come out. She saw me and started laughing. And said, oh boy, this my boy is ready. So since then,
did you go back to Ghana after that?
We started doing some practical things.
Okay, okay.
And then we started. She went through the protocols, and then we started with the CDS. And in the CDS, while we were doing the CDS, she just instead of pouring one of the mix gradually, she poured it. Boom, and then boom. The whole place was smoky, and
said, open the door,
and from there, just I got knocked out a little bit for inhaling a lot of that. But after a week, I just started looking at this. Oh, boy, this thing's not for here; it's for Ghana.
How about you personally? Did you start doing it yourself?
I was having some problems with gout, and also my skin was more scaly. It was scaly. Yeah, and then. Yeah, snoring and waist problems. If I lay down in bed for more than my usual time, I'll definitely get a backache. But when I started doing that, the snoring was getting down, and
Second time today. Yeah. I heard someone tell me they got rid of their snoring from taking MMS.
Yeah, that's that day. So I brought it to Ghana, and my brother was always having some difficulties. He cannot even walk from here to the street. Wow. He'll be sitting down maybe three or four times because of BP.
Okay.
I said, Brody, get it. I started putting him on that, and this guy can now run from here to...
So he had a blood pressure problem?
He had a blood pressure problem, and then immediately he also had a lady whose husband has also been knocked down by a stroke. And so we started working with her on that, and he called me and said, hey, Nana, this lady's husband is starting walking, talking, and oh, wow, okay. And children, yeah, then the testimonies, people were coming and said, okay, now I'm ready. I had to go to Ghana three times. The first time is 2016. I went to Ghana three times. And in 2017, that was where I really went to do the thing. And then from 2016, from September, I started, you know,
opening
places and
registering. How many places in Ghana?
I've got Accra, the capital. I've got four places that
people... He sent me the pictures of the buildings and stuff.
Yeah, and I've got a place in Accra that they're ready to give it to me. And then Kumasi, there's a health center. Say, okay, this whole building is there. We are just occupying the lower part. But up there, we can do the... We set things up and say, okay. And there was this chief, also a chief that I'm also related with, a friend. So he's the one who is helping me to bring this across.
Kind of things you hear? Testimonies?
Testimonies, we had
a lot of people, but
HIV, HIV, we had an HIV case. It's a beautiful lady, but she didn't want the people to know that she just got married, and she didn't want the husband even to know. And so we started working with her with the protocol, 1,000, and then we gradually built it up. But I didn't have then the DMSO, so she gradually went on to protocol. I started adding the 2000 without the DMSO, but later on I just got DMSO and started. The city count was, but she was, the energy level just spiked up and so forth and so forth. And in Bulgar, there was a nurse. Nurse has been having ulcer for the past 25 years as a nurse. And said, hey, if you want to try this, why not? I just give it to her. And she systematically went through the whole program for 21 days. And for the 21 days, she never had it since the last time she didn't have any problem with that anymore.
And now what was your problem?
Mine was gout, her problem.
No, hers.
It was ulcer, stomach ulcer.
Ulcer, okay. Yes.
And this clear. And the sister is also from the way the other end of the... she got to know that and she have to shift it to them. So she is the contact in Bulgar.
Right. Let's go to Ghana.
Spreading. And then in Sunyani, there's also... there are many cases, stomach problems, knee arthritis and... Mouth odor or halitosis, bad breath. Just
about cancers. You seen any of that so far?
Cancers,
malaria.
Oh, that's an interesting one. I was in Burkina Faso visiting, and the guy that we went to was, oh, my son has been knocked out with malaria. The whole is the vomiting. Okay, I've got something here if you like them. Mm-hmm. And as he went and brought a 1.5 liter bottle. Okay, let me fix it out for you. I give it to him, and I think the next day we went back to the place. The wife was using it, and then where is the child? Oh, that guy is running around. He's going to school. That was that.
And then very sick.
Sick, and then
next morning he's at school.
Yeah. And then one area, the chief also brought. I gave it to him, and he brought it to his village. And the palace, the people started coming, and he gave it to them, and they started drinking. And the next morning, there was a line. Everybody come with gallons of this. Hey, Nana, put some of your things.
At the palace,
the people were coming, and it was fantastic.
So what's it? Nana?
Nana.
That means chief.
Yes.
They call him chief. Hey, chief. Yeah. So he's the chief. He's a bishop, chief bishop of Ghana.
Yes.
And...
And in Amsterdam too, I've been very busy in Amsterdam too. I've got a lot of cases in Amsterdam.
Okay.
I recently diagnosed somebody. He came to me, went to the blood test. I said, go and do the test because he's 50-something, almost 60 years. I said, go and do your PSA. And he came back and I saw him at the general hospital. He was, they say, I've got prostate cancer. And I said, all right, that's great, no problem. Come to me the next day, a week later he came to me, and then I also put him on the diagnostic thing, and I saw that there's an enlargement of the prostate. And I said, prostate. He says, okay, no, this is it. If you want me to help you, fine. If not, then I said, ah, no, okay, don't worry. I know you're going to help me with it. But immediately, I just put him on protocol 4000. So he's working on that. And again, there was another guy that I diagnosed and said, oh, I saw that there's HIV in there. I said, okay. Well, I was finding difficulty in telling him, but when I called him again and he said, yeah, I've been suspecting that there was some issues around there, but I didn't know, something like herpes. But he suspected that was an STI, and it's okay, this is it. It's okay. So he just accepted it and they started working with that. Asthma, somebody, the guy was daily going to the hospital for control.
Wow.
Said, this guy, what is happening with you? Said, yeah. And the face was swollen like that. I said, he said he was in a wheelchair.
Toxic.
So I said, all right, let's start with the protocol 1000. I started with him gradually, and then a week later, I saw that the puffy in the face is just going down and down. So, oh, wow. And then after 21 days, I got added the DMSO. It was on the DMSO. And then from the stomach, it went down there. And from the down there, it went to the knee. But then I was in Germany. He called me, my knee. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor put an injection in there. Ooh, I said, all right. Then I gave him the DMSO and the spray also to use that. He used it, and gradually, though the pain after the injection, the pain gradually, and now the guy is okay. But after 21 days, he did it for almost 3 months, but still on
that. You don't have to eat just 21 days until you're cured, right?
Yeah, so he's still on it, though he cannot walk properly because of the operations that he's gone through, but the energy level is picking up.
He's feeling better.
And he's now becoming a man.
Yeah.
Because he started calling me, I need a woman. I said,
oh, that's good. I need a woman. You know you're getting healthy. I need a woman. Well, bro.
Thank you.
This guy came. He's a good guy. We're going to really going to be a mean guy in Ghana.
Thank you.
And we're going to try to help him with as much as we can.
Thank you.
God, thank you for coming, buddy.
God bless you. Thank you very much also. This is my why. I've come to go through to my why. I've seen that. Why did I choose to come? Because there's a lot that I wanted to come and see. First of all, to meet the family.
Yes,
this is the family that I want to say is a wow. Because I always have three things in mind. That is love, time, and death. These are the three things. Everybody, we have got to go through that.
Exactly.
But if my why is why I want to help people. I know that we are going to die, but out of love, I can also bring, laughter into people's
faces. It's like the beggar.
Yeah.
The beggar telling another beggar where to get the bread.
Yeah.
You find out the truth, I get it to other people how to do this too.
Yeah.
Keep going, God.
Thank you,
God
sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
So that was old Barima, Bishop Barima, Joe,
up in Calgary, Canada.
Yeah, that's old Barima, Bishop Barima up in Calvary, Canada. And he came over from Amsterdam, flew all the way over, straight flight from Amsterdam to Calgary. That was a good deal. Yeah, we spent some time with him. Good guy. He's going to do a lot there in Ghana, Amsterdam. And they're already starting to hit us in Amsterdam now, saying that, going around, and they're all flipping out. They just, Ecuador? In Ecuador. Oh, the health departments are making statements about MMS.
It doesn't have the approval of sanitation or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But we obviously mentioned the name MMS, but it's sacraments. These are our sacraments. Just means MMS is a name that Jim coined, Miracle Mineral Solution, or Master Mineral Supplement. There's two different ways he's named it. We kind of, the second time we're involved in changing it again, but I like the Miracle Mineral Supplement. because this stuff is amazing. It's like a miracle, and I believe in miracles. But this is something that God made that works. It's a natural thing that happens when you mix these two natural things together. So I'm really excited about Iman, what he's going to be doing. But you know, this is a battle. Our enemy is not CBC, not Health Canada, not FDA, not the pharmaceuticals, not even the money people, not even the Illuminati. Well, it's closer to the truth there, you know. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says that in Ephesians 6:12. And I put this, we're going to put this sign up in this picture, Joe. I got like David standing in front of a giant. The giant could just squash him, right? That's what you could see. But behind David's this huge angel, like twice the size, three times the size of Goliath, with big wings and a huge sword, almost the size of Goliath. And that's how I look like. That's how I feel the situation we're in. We might look little to the world, in front of the evilness that's, we can't beat these people. Yeah, we can beat them because it's a spiritual problem.
Yeah, we got God backing us.
Yeah, it's not physical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to see the manifestation in the physical of a bunch of evil stuff, but the real power is the spiritual.
The good and the evil.
Yeah, and you know what? In the seminar, I'm explaining that to people. And you know what? Most people are saying, yeah, it's spiritual. We got to. The physical is just a manifestation of how spiritually evil this world is.
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere. I mean, they opened a satanic church in Colombia recently.
Mm-hmm.
First Church of Lucifer.
Yeah, first one. Yeah.
In here. They're doing some crazy stuff in the streets. They're, in Washington State, they said that the babies are owned by the government, so therefore they could sell the aborted baby parts, make a lot of money. And it's legal.
Sick.
They're making bestiality in Canada. Supreme Court says you can now have sex with animals. And then on the other side of it, if you have a marijuana license, you know, for cancer or whatever, and you can't own a gun now. So they're trying to take away our guns, saying if you use marijuana, you're not responsible enough to use a gun, which is bull. It's been proven scientifically that you're not inhibited. Or your manual dexterity is not unbalanced or hindered in any way with cannabis. Alcohol, yes. Because in Colorado, there's some studies, people are smoking weed while they're driving, and they find out it doesn't hinder you, it enhances your ability to be more aware of things around you. So no one's getting in accidents. But they want to take away your gun now? But you're a drunk congressman snorting cocaine on the backside of your mistress in the office in the Senate, and you can have a concealed gun, you know? That's how crazy this is, folks. So, follow what's morally right. I have a quote. It's not. It's original. I changed the word in it. Originally said nothing is legally, lawfully right that's morally wrong. I changed it to legally. Because lawfully, laws are natural laws. They're things that you can prove. They're scientific. They are moral. So legal, I'm like the legal beagle. Who cares if it's legal, if it's immoral? So they might call statutes, codes, and laws, but they're really not laws that are scientific laws or natural laws. And so they try to get you to, I'm not going to follow them. I'm not going to follow them, folks. I'm just not going to do it. Civil disobedience. This is why you had guns. If the government goes crazy and grabs your kid and starts injecting it without your consent, huh?
Yeah, who the heck are you?
You have a gun, you can stop him. I got to protect my kid. Raggedy Ann, the guy that come up with that Raggedy Ann, that can't happen to his daughter, I think, Marisa, something like that. She had a vaccine, she went flop and died. That's where the Raggedy Ann story came from. It was he made that doll because after his kid. That was like in the early 1900s. Back then they were killing kids with vaccines. I put them up all the time. mainstream media, Fox Pharmacy won't cover that stuff because they're involved in pharmaceuticals, okay? CNN, they're really fake news, but Fox News is just as fake when it comes to pharmaceutical, medical industry, finance. It's all the same, all same birds. So, remember we're in a spiritual battle, and you know, if God be for us, who could be against us? I remember people, everybody could be against you, but it doesn't matter, Joe. Doesn't matter. We don't care. We're going to keep going and encourage you to do more. Other people, show healings, show cures, show testimonies. We write it down, write about it. And what's good about the book that God told me to write, I didn't want to do this, is it shows now how these things are corrupting the body and what we're doing, why what we're doing is so important, and it gets it out. So at the seminar, we had the guy pop in, CBC. He wants to register. I wanna pay. I'm a reporter. I guess they have to tell you that. That's a good law. They have to can't lie to you and sneak in, right? Mm-hmm. They have to say, I'm recording this. So they asked, he said, no, we don't want a reporter here. Not that we're afraid, because John said this on the, you'll see this in a minute. He said, listen, all our stuff is right out there. The G2 Voice, the Genesis 2 church sites, our testimonies. We tell you, we don't change our story.
Yeah, he came to ask John what the church is, what do we do, what are the... They He's know. Like, everything's online.
Yeah.
You go to the website.
We say we don't hide a thing. And we don't have to lie because we say the truth all the time. So you have to cover yourself. What did I say back there? An episode? Not to say everything that comes out of this mouth is truth, but I try to give you both sides of the story, and I try to show you what we're doing, and to me that's truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's results. That's scientific.
Yeah.
To make you, to set you free health-wise, so you can practice self-care. So John gets corralled by this guy, and the guy doesn't shut up. John goes, we're not doing, I'll just let you listen to what John said. And you know, he just started telling him, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. That's what you need. All you people are liars because you don't know God. And anyways, put it on. Okay. It's only like a two-minute
yes,
thing, right?
Yes, 2 minutes.
We're trying to keep the media away from what we do just because they don't tell the truth of what we do.
Okay. So what if I just record this thing?
Well, can I record you?
Absolutely.
Recording me?
Absolutely.
Is you recording this?
Yeah. So, Jonathan, just tell me why I'm
Bishop
wrong.
John, I'm a bishop.
Sorry?
Bishop Jonathan, yes.
Sorry. Do you mind if I just get my microphone out? The audio would be much better.
Well, I don't really want to give an interview right now. This is a church service, and I think this could be disrupting. I'm actually really busy doing what we're doing.
Right.
We're trying to carry on with our service. So
So what exactly is happening in there? Are you guys selling MMS?
We don't sell anything. Now, what is
what
your name again? What's your name again?
Brian.
Brian. Well, Brian, we're going to continue with our service right now.
Okay.
We're going to stop this because this is not an interview, and I know you're trying to just get more information of things, but there's all that information is on the church websites, all the information you need to know. Right now, you have to leave.
No, but can you explain why I can't?
No, right now you have to leave. I don't have to explain much right now. So Brian and whoever else is out there going to see this, God bless you. Jesus Christ is coming very soon, and I think everyone should reach out and try to get to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what I believe in. And ways of helping others as Jesus Christ did.
Thank you very much.
Just like any church, we're just having our service.
Can you explain the benefits of MMS?
No, I can't. I can't explain anything at the moment.
We're going to finish
it. Okay. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
God bless you. I hope people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That is the belief that everyone should be following.
All right, John, you just shut out the light, and doctors leaves. You know, they don't want to hang around when you start talking about the Lord. But we're having a church service. Oh, we're a church. We're Bible believers. My family, that's really kind of founders of the church with Jim, and even in seminars, I'd get up and say what I believe. Jim get up and say what he believes. Good thing is, him and I don't agree. How we got here, we agree, let's open the world's eyes that they can take care of their own health.
Yeah, why we're here.
Yeah, we can go down that road as far as you want. You might not agree how we got here, but I'll tell you what, Jim's a great, honest guy, and he wants people healed. Well, I want people healed, and anybody else that wants people healed and wants to be healed, restore health, you could come be part of us. You know, our belief, spiritual beliefs, I believe we're right, but I'm just saying, it's not a prerequisite to you to come and learn how to heal yourself. So please, don't ever believe that. And we're having people, we set up a site for this book that I'm really having people, you know, in the book, I've got different videos, and I'm watching the videos go up. So people are reading the book, they go into those videos. If you go through this book and all the references, I'm telling you, you would have a PhD as far as medical health-wise.
Medical history.
You'll know more than a PhD. So we encourage you to get the book and read it, study it, share it. And the e-book is good because it's on your phone. You can click on different sites and things. So we started, really what I want to talk about the rest of the time, Joe, is how to become part of our church. Because, you know, in the seminar, I get to talk to them about that, the different things we put up on the wall. You come to my house, right in your face, I'm holding this up. It's a sign as we are up here in the studio, a big Genesis 2 church sign saying, you know, we're a church. We're publicly letting this out. We publicly put it in newspapers. We public announcement. We record it where they record death and marriage certificates in different countries. That's how we publish where we're here, okay? That's common law. We have a creed. Do good deeds. Do what is right. Good health to all mankind. Freedom for all mankind. Enlightening others with truth. Helping one another. Maintaining integrity. Honesty. In all things. And that's our creed we put up on the wall. Okay? Then, like, everybody that came to the seminar, Joe, they became a member. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing. We, you know, it's only been 7.5, almost 8 years in June. And we've got over 3,000, I think 3,100 now. And that's not huge, but that's 3,100 people that want to take control of their health. And that's many others that aren't members that are sending in us testimonies, okay? Some people still freak out to say, well, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Jew, I'm a whatever, a Muslim. And I can't become a member of the church. We're a health church. It's like saying you can't go to your church and be a member of the YMCA or the Salvation Army or the military. I mean, it's just another thing that's totally different from your church, okay? We are spiritual, but we're not religious. We don't have a set of doctrines and rules. We have principles that we follow. You hear a lot of Bible from me because I was a missionary pilot, independent Bible believer.
And it makes sense.
Yes, and it makes sense, and I believe it's true history. So you're going to hear a lot from me. That bothers you. I'm sorry. I like what one guy said. He says, I'm not a Christian, but you don't offend me. What you're saying does not offend me. And why can't people grow up and be like that? And maybe you'll learn something, and maybe you'll see that the Word of God is true history. Then if once you go through the course, and that's what we